Good morning. If you would, turn your hymn books to page 794. 794. Sing verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
No tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in heaven. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join that happy band. And there'll be no tears, and there'll be no tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flowed, and there'll be no tears, and there'll be no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Some morning yonder will cease to ponder, or things that life has brought to you. All will be clearer, the ones be nearer, in heaven all will be made new. And there'll be no tears, and there'll be no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flowed. And there'll be no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. And there'll be no tears, and there'll be no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flowed. And there'll be no tears, and there'll be no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known.
Before we go to God in prayer this morning, please turn to hymn book to page 285. 285. Sing verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus, no, not one, no, not one, not else to heal all our souls, Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. You know that Jesus knows all of my struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not a to
Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, as we approach you this morning, we want to thank you for the many blessings that you have given us through this life, for the beautiful habitation you've provided, for the talents and the skills that you give us that we may live in this world, for the brothers and sisters in Christ who encourage us and who share the burden of this life. We pray, dear Father, that you'll help us through this tumultuous and perilous time, that we'll keep a Christian attitude and our spirits high, that we'll not be overcome by fear or by hate nor by distractions that keep us from seeing the goal that we should be pursuing. We pray, dear Father, for the leaders of our land, even though they seem to be in conflict with one another most of the time. We pray, dear Father, that they'll put their swords away and work for the good of all. Help us, dear Father, to reason with one another and to have a Christian spirit as we deal with our differences. Help us, dear Father, to have more love. We pray especially this day, dear Father, for our number that are suffering physically and spiritually. We pray this morning for those on our sick list, those that are in most need of immediate help, such as Brother Kenneth Gatewood, Tiffany Henson, Evelyn Johnson, Philby Lowe, Sharon English, Yvonne LaFloria, myself, Wanda Long, Jerry Cross, Crystal Van Pelt, Linda Boone, and Trista Anderson's family, especially her son, Lazion Anderson, and our sister, Shirley Stanley, who is residing in Kansas now. We pray especially for these and for those that are sick and we're unaware of. Help us, dear Father, to remember all of those in need daily as we pray, that we constantly approach you in prayer to ease the burdens of this life and to help us to gain spiritually and physically. We thank you, dear Father, for our brother Skippy Norman and Carolyn, for beautiful are the feet of those who spread the gospel. Help us, dear Father, to appreciate one another and those that do the work, and to help us overcome the weaknesses that all humans have. Pray for this congregation, dear Father, that we'll go through these difficult times and emerge on the other side stronger. Help us to grow in faith. We ask this all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your hymnbook to page 504. 504. Sing verses 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
When peace like a river
We now come to that portion of our service where we take the time to remember the great sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross with the taking of the Lord's Supper. We have the bread, which represents his body, and the fruit of the vine, which represents the cup. Scriptures tell us that he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, also the cup, after the supper, saying, "This is the covenant in my blood, which is given for you." At this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Father, thanking you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and gave the ultimate sacrifice for our remission of our sins. Father, we ask at this time that as we take of this bread, Father, that we do so in a way that is pleasing unto thee, Father. In the name of Jesus, and we do pray, and amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the cup. O kind and merciful Father, we are so grateful and we humble ourselves in the name of Jesus, thanking you ever so much for having mercy on our soul. Thanking you, Father, for the precious blood of Christ Jesus that was shed on the cross for the remission of sin. It is a privilege to give you all praise, honor, and glory for this cup. In Jesus' name, amen.
To all who wish to partake of the Lord's Supper have an opportunity to do so. We ask if you have been inadvertently overlooked that you at this time raise your hand if you have not received the Lord's Supper. Seeing no hands, we move to another portion of our service, and that is of giving. Let us now give thanks for that opportunity. Our kind, gracious, and heavenly Father in heaven, we once again humbly bow to you this morning, Father, thanking you first and foremost for all of the many blessings of life that you have bestowed upon us, Father. Father, we thank you for loving us, Father. We thank you for just protecting us and guiding us, Father. Father, we ask at this time, Father, that we have an opportunity to give, Father, that we do so that is a way is pleasing unto you, Father, a way that is not grudging or of necessity, Father, because your word says you love a cheerful giver. In the name of Christ, we do have this giving. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Amen.
After marking that, please turn to page 971. 971. In verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
Trials come from every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. For he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by.
Or some of this word. Scripture reading for this morning's lesson titled, Are You Focused on the Big Picture? We take it from Romans chapter 8, 28 and 29. Once again, that's Romans chapter 8, 28 through 29. And it reads, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And now for our brother, Skippy Norm.
Say good morning. Truly God is once again blessed us to open our eyes this morning, to be able to see a day that we've never seen before, to come to the house to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see you here this morning if you're visiting with us. We do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. I just want to inform you that we've been putting out handouts, the sermons that we do each week. We started that last week, but what we're going to do now is that the sermons that are being preached each week is put into our bulletin. So when you get a bulletin, you'll see the sermon outline that we have done, but also it's uploaded on our website as well. So you have an opportunity to either look in the bulletin, or if you lost your bulletin, you go on the website, and there the sermon outline will be as well. And so we're just trying to just limit on a lot of copies we make every week. So we, by already having the bulletins, you have that as well. So let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise eternal Heavenly Father, we just thank you for, again, this day and for your blessings. This opportunity you've given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we go into your word, that we focus upon your word and the things that it has to say. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Lord, give us the necessary, the courage to make the necessary correction before it's too late. Give me your word, the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk this morning. Are you focused on the big picture? There are times in our lives where when God will and will not do things, but also he will do things that won't make a bit of sense to you and I. And because we don't see the big picture, we may falsely conclude that God has abandoned us. It's easy to get discouraged and begin to wonder, why is this happening to me? Why did this person treat me wrong? Why did I get laid off? Why did I have this illness. But we have to understand this morning that even though life is not always fair, God is always fair. And so we need to trust him during these times and remember that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So when things get difficult, what do we do? Do we focus on the big picture? It's not the good that we struggle with. It's the bad. When you're struggling with the hurts of life and trying to find where they fit, it really helps to step back and look at the big picture. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. It's to help us to focus on the big picture. When you look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 and 29, we quote Romans a lot. We quote this passage of scripture a lot. But within those two verses, there are some promises that we find in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. The first promise that we see in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 is we see the certainty of the promise. The certainty of the promise, and we know. The word know means to learn by instruction. How do we know our math facts? By instruction. We know that God causes all things to work for good because we are taught through God's word that this is true. And the only way to know this fact is through the teaching of the Bible. How many times have you seen what seems like a hopeless situation turn into something good? I've seen some of the most difficult situations in life turn into something good for people. In my own life, there's been time, many things that has happened that at the time it did not seem good. But later I could see that it was the best thing that happened, because God can turn it around for your good. And so we see the certainty of the promise. The second promise that we see is that we see the completeness of the promise. He says, all things work together. In the context of this book of Romans, all things include all trials and all tribulations that we deal with in life. It deals with the persecution we face as a result of our faith. The key word in this verse is together. In other words, you just can't isolate one part of your life and say, well, it's not good. It's not good that I got laid off. It's not good that my relationship didn't work out. It's not good that I got this illness. Yes, that is true. But I want you to understand, it's just one part of your life. Because God can see the big picture. That disappointment is not the end. You have to remember, when one door closes, God has another door to walk through, and it's a better door. Those difficulties And those challenges are merely stepping stones toward your brighter future. And so don't let life get you down. God's going to make everything better. And so what do we see? We see the certainty of the promise. We see the completeness of the promise. But then the third thing that we see is that we see the cause of the promise. Notice the text says, all things work together for good. But what is Paul really saying? Well, we got to look at what he is not saying. Paul is not saying that whatever happens to a Christian is good, because bad things really do happen. Paul doesn't mean that God works out all things for our comfort, for our convenience, for our health, and for our wealth. Paul is not saying that in some twisted way, wars and famines and diseases is actually all good stuff and you just don't know it. Well, what is he saying? Paul is saying that for the people to whom this promise was made, everything works together to accomplish God's good goal. In other words, whatever we are facing in life, God promises that it'll work for your good. There are times in life when we are so disappointed, when we are so wounded, when we are so confused, when we are so angry, when we are so beaten down that all we have to cling to is Romans 8:28 in order to keep our sanity. That's why we need to have the ability to let our faith keep us grounded even in the midst of the most difficult of times. And so, yes, there is the certainty of the promise. There is the completeness of the promise. There is the cause of the promise. But I see that there is the condition of the promise. We see there is a condition for this great blessing, and you got to understand, it's not for everyone. The passage implies that only those who continue to love God and the ones for whom this promise is for. Because if you don't love God, then you can't claim this promise. Well, who are the called according to his purpose? Well, you got to look at the word purpose. The word purpose means to place something before one's mind, to plan, to resolve. And you have to understand it's not for everyone. Let me help you. Have you ever been in the house with someone and you heard them say something and you thought they were talking to you, and later you find out they were talking on the phone or to someone else, or they were talking to themselves, and they never intended their words to be for you? Well, let me help you this morning, because this is an awesome and a great promise. But whenever you read a promise in God's word, you should stop to make sure you are the one it is promised. You see, every promise in the word of God has an audience. It's a group of people that God intended to receive the promise. And so in this case, it's a group of people who does two things. Number one, love God. God wants you to love him more than you love anything else. Remember, Jesus says that the greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. This is a promise that's made to the people who do that, who love God most of all. And so it's a group of people, number one, who love God, but also who puts his purpose first in their life. The Bible makes clear that everyone is called, but only a few will make God's purpose their purpose. And so this verse implies that a called one is one who has heard the call, who has accepted the call, and who has obeyed the call. So what is the purpose of God? What is he that wants to do in our lives? Well, let's check it out. Because, again, there is the what? Certainty of the promise. There is the completeness of the promise. There is the cause of the promise. There is the condition of the promise. And then finally, there is the consequences of the promise. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So verse 29, when you look at verse 29, it talks about those whom God foreknew. In the context, the word foreknew means to approve beforehand. So what this means is that in eternity past, God knew that he would approve of anyone who accepted his son. He foreknew that those who accepted Jesus would be accepted by him. And God approves those who are faithful. So what is the good thing in this particular text? What is the good that all things work together for? And here it is: to make us like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of his son. And when you look at that word conform, that word is translated, it's a word that means a likeness inside and out. A thorough change, not just an outward appearance. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, in the New Living Translation, it says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God really wants you to do. And you will know how good and how pleasing and how perfect his will really is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, when you look at the English Standard Version, it says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so this is the destiny for those who love God. God does not want us to fail to reach this goal for our lives. Because why? Because it's a big part of the big plan that he has for you and I. And when you talk about the consequences, what I'm saying, the consequence is those who reject the call are lost, but those who accept the call are saved. God wants you to be a part of his large family. Because that's God's big picture. And so here it is. What does it mean to you and I? Number one, if you love God, and if you are putting his purpose first, the pieces that life gives you will always fit together to make you more like Jesus. The second is if we love him, then he is using the events of our lives to fashion us into his likeness of his beloved son. Not only is that the greatest personal blessings that comes to us, but the more conformed we become to the image of Christ, the more God will be able to use us to bless others, to bless our families, to bless our neighbors, to bless our co-workers, to bless our fellow believers. And the more God will be able to use us to reach the lost. But then if you love God first, keep the big picture, then someday, you will look back and you'll say that the thing that was supposed to hurt me turned out for my good. That's how God works with. Because it makes you more like Jesus. Every day that we live in this life, it ought to make us more like Jesus. Because we see all the things that God is working out in our lives. He worked it out in the past, and he's working it out right now in our lives. But we got to trust him. We got to believe him. And that's the big picture that we ought to focus on. And so this morning, I know that all of you here today have had hurts in life, and sometimes it hurts very badly. But I got some good news. And that good news is God wants to make your hurts work together for good. But it's only going to happen if you love God first and put his purpose first in your life. The call this morning is open. It's open to everyone. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us that God desires all to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And those who reject the call are lost, and those who accept it are saved. How do you do it? God sent his son. He loved this world so much that God sent his son to die on Calvary's cross. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life on Calvary's cross. God did his part. The Son did his part. The Holy Spirit is doing his part. But it's up to us, if we want to be saved, to do our part. You've heard the word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Go in the water of the grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38, when you come by that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then the Lord adds you to his church. then you got to live faithfully. There are going to be some things in your life that's going to hurt, that's not, you seem like there's no way out, but let me tell you, God can turn it around. He can turn it around for your good. If you're here this morning and a Christian, you've not been living as a Christian should. Maybe there's some things that you just realize, God, why is this happening to me? No. God already knows. But God can turn it around if you only trust him, believe in him, and obey him. And you'll see, he'll turn it around for good. It might not be the way you want it, but whatever his will is, he'll do. Come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Just as I am,
Father, thank you for this day and all the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to be able to come together to learn more about your word and with the understanding be able to apply it to our daily lives. We pray, Father, for the people who are all on our prayer list. Be with them, strengthen them. We pray, Father, for the people who are traveling that they may get to their destination safely. Watch us, guide us, and keep us safe. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.